You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
All right, here we go. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. I am your host for today, for the week, I think. Jesse Montano, joined as always by my great friends, Megan Angley and AJ Haefeli. And we are here, well, we're here to talk about all kinds of stuff. I was going to say we're here to talk about Darcy Kuemper, but will be a portion of the show. Then we've got some other stuff we can get into. We are officially into the NHL offseason. Some teams obviously have been at it for now a couple months, with the Stanley Cup final officially being concluded. Full swing, rumors are everywhere. Conversations between GMs and agents are being had. So we have a lot to get into today. And we also are expecting at some point today during this show, the NHL regular season schedule will release. Is this not like the weirdest thing ever? Like having the team that you cover, that you're around, that you root for, what, you know, whatever, go to the Stanley Cup final, win the Stanley Cup. We're what, 10 days removed from them lifting the cup, and now we're getting the schedule to drop?
Is it 10? It still feels like five.
I think it's maybe 11, because it was what, five. Sunday, right? Two Sundays ago?
You're right. It's probably close to 10.
Yeah. Which, yeah, like you said, it both feels like it happened yesterday and also like it was 1,000 years ago.
It feels like yesterday.
It does feel like yesterday.
It's great. AJ and Megan will be doing a lot of the heavy lifting today. As you can hear, I'm still not quite back in tip-top shape. I'm actually the reason we're getting going late. So shout out to Megan and AJ. And Yahir for accommodating me. Yes, I do agree with this. The EJ tweet for the schedule drop was just perfect. Guys, well, let's just go ahead and get right into it with what the name of the show is, what I kind of led off with. Reports from Pierre LeBrun that today there is a meeting scheduled between Darcy Kuemper and his camp and Joe Sakic and the rest of the Avs management.
It happened.
It already happened, so it's like we're waiting for it. Went down this morning. AJ, we'll start with you. Have you heard anything different than what I've heard, than what LeBrun has put out there? Is this kind of the first time they're getting together? What are we thinking?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, it's the first time that they're actually having like an official conversation about it. But you know, these guys, it's not like these guys don't ever have any conversations during the year, you know. They touch base, whatever. These are two sides that I think are actually motivated this year to make this work and to stick it out. I think last year the Avs were comfortable with what happened. I think that they had a plethora of options just given the market. And I don't know that that's true this year. I think that they're a little more motivated to try to make sure that Kuemper is not just a one-year guy here.
Yeah. And like we said, I think the playoffs kind of went the way that you wanted it to. Oh, I mean, they absolutely went the way that you wanted it.
You won the Stanley Cup. You're happy.
I guess not bad. At least in regards to Darcy Kuemper, because that was kind of the not necessarily doomsday scenario that we had played out, but it was something that we had talked about going all the way back to last offseason when the Avs acquired Darcy Kuemper for a first-round pick for Connor Timmins. We said, look, you know, this guy goes off in the playoffs and takes you to a Stanley Cup. You maybe are pricing yourself out. Megan, if you're Darcy Kemper, how and his agent and his camp, how much are you pointing at the regular season and maybe even the eye injury as, you know, reasons to say like, hey, yeah, the numbers weren't great, but this guy definitely still deserves a significant raise? Or do you have, you know, are you kind of victim to, hey, postseason wasn't great?
I feel like if I'm Kemper and Kemper's camp, that I would be leaning on that heavily. The regular season play, the fact that they still walked out of this with a Stanley Cup, because I think that they are wise to the fact that the market is kind of tight and that they have
a great point.
A little bit of a reason, like a little bit to lean on the Avalanche organization to make that conversation as agreeable as possible, not just because of the postseason performance, but because of what else is out there as well.
That's a great point. And I think maybe let's go down that kind of road here. If you're Darcy Kemper, I think you make a great point, Megan. You can really kind of afford to be like, yeah, playoffs wasn't great, but what else are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, you know, he does have a little bit more kind of control here than maybe some people give him a little bit, you know, give him credit for. You know, you see a lot of people upset that they're maybe wanting to bring him back, but I'm just going to run down what NHL.com just put out a graphic this morning of what they had listed as their top goaltender free agents. I'm just going to run through this list right here. Jack Campbell, Marc-Andre Fleury, Thomas Greiss, Yaroslav Halak, Braden Holtby, Ville Husso, Martin Jones, Darcy Kemper, and Kevin Lankinen.
Those better not be ranked.
I don't. They aren't. They aren't ranked. They're just. AJ, I don't think I'm being overly biased here when I say Darcy Kemper's name is the best one on that list.
Yeah, I think depending on how you feel about you know, Ville Husso, just had his first year as a starter, really. And you have to like what he did, and his age, you know, Jack Campbell, I think, has been impressive at times. Obviously Marc-Andre Fleury has a pretty good resume. But beyond that, beyond those couple of guys, I do think you're looking at those guys like you're going to hand over the keys to your Stanley Cup champion roster, and hope that one of those guys could pull that out, could pull off what Kemper did, which, like, Kemper's job was pretty easy, relatively speaking. He wasn't asked to do as much, but I don't know, man. I do think that you're right and that Darcy Kemper holds a lot of the cards here because the market is what it is. Last year, the Avs could kind of stare down the barrel and play chicken with Philip Grubauer and dare him to go and get a big money deal on the market and then lots of other options here. But that's, I think, I don't know. I just, for me, I guess I wonder why Kemper would have kind of a wandering eye. You know, obviously money talks, but it's such a good fit here. The Avs want him here. Given his age, I don't think he's going to get a gigantic multi-year deal from somebody. You know, like, I'd be shocked if there's a 5 or 6 year deal on the table for that guy.
Yeah.
Well, certainly six. I guess if somebody went 5, I would be pretty surprised, but I you know, NHL GMs, you know. It's hard to be shocked by them too much, but for a guy that's already 32, I guess I would really struggle with that. And again, like, you just look at the market, and I just don't see where you have really strong, viable alternatives that don't involve you hemorrhaging even more assets on the trade market.
No, it's a good point, because last year I feel like it was kind of the opposite, where the goalie market was kind of flush with some options. Megan, I look at this list and I see a lot of 1A, 1B type guys. If the Avs were to miss out on Darcy Kemper, I guess, what is your confidence level in Pavel Francouz and one of those guys I just listed. Because, like, look, Jack Campbell's been good. Wheels came off a bit in the second half of the season last year. Marc-Andre Fleury, to AJ's point yesterday, you know, obviously Chicago isn't the elite team that they were 10 years ago, but Marc-Andre Fleury really struggled last year. And you know, Halak, Grice, all of those guys are 1B. If the Avs are going to mess out on Fleury, where is your confidence level with Pavel Francouz on something like this?
I think that, and this isn't to diminish Darcy Kuemper, but I think with what we saw happen in the playoffs, we almost got a sample of what a tandem situation might look like. And we're a little familiar with Francouz's body of work. It's been a little limited in the playoffs specifically, but I think it would be a comparable situation to what we got in the playoffs, because Darcy Kuemper wasn't quite at his best, and so we had this tandem situation going on, and it would be classified as kind of a moderate goaltending situation going into next year. And that's the magic trick that we talk about. Like, can the Avalanche pull this off again with just moderate goaltending? Because we don't really know if that's consistent enough or not. But I think it's kind of what we're looking at anyways, because we don't know what happens with Darcy Kuemper. If he does come back, if he's at 100%, I think my confidence level is equal to that of what we would get with Darcy Kuemper going into next season as well. And it's not a bad thing. I don't mean to knock Darcy Kuemper with that. Right.
Does the eye worry either of you?
No.
No?
No. Sounds like a long-term thing.
Him being susceptible to post-concussion syndrome, like down the line with any sort of upper body head-related injuries that could happen. And that's just such a high-risk position for something like that.
Yeah, no, I think I'm with you guys. It's one of those things that you have to, damn, I hate it, keep an eye on.
Get him out of her.
But yeah, I think for the most part, that's one of those things that
he really did get him out of here.
Yeah, kick him out.
Oh,
that's
okay.
So cold blooded.
I was like, whoa, I didn't do that. Got a super chat here from Jamie Dodge. Missed the last few pods. Missed the last few live pods. Just saying, hey, hope you're all doing well and keep Kemps, because the free agency list for goalies isn't great. Thank you so much for the $10, Jamie. And thanks for jumping back on. Good to see you. Megan, that's so good. You have to keep an eye on it, but I think with the way he finished that Tampa Bay series, you feel pretty comfortable with it. Last question I kind of got for you guys on Darcy, and then if you guys have anything that we want to kind of go down a certain road, there's a comment that came through a second ago that just said, you know, you give up the first and Connor Timmins, and God, if Connor Timmins can stay healthy, I think that kid is going to be such a player. I think he's going to be such a good NHLer if he can just – and like freak accidents too. Obviously you win the cup. So the trade, you know, it's already paid off 10 times over.
Hey, you're happy.
But does keeping Kuemper maybe make it feel a little bit better in terms of just like a long-term investment on those assets that you gave up?
Megan says yes.
I was going to say, I saw a head nod and then a skeptical.
I guess I don't care. They won the Stanley Cup, man. Like they made the trade. They did it for, he was on a 1 year deal. On the 1 year deal, he went 1-for-1 winning the Stanley Cup. Sure, if he stays for the next 3 years and they win another one, then great. Like you love that. If they don't, they go get a different goaltender and they win another Stanley Cup. You also love that. So I guess I'm just not too concerned about the deal anymore. And that deal is a clear win today. No questions asked. You put it in the history books as Yahtzee, and I probably won't ever think about it again.
Megan, you nodded. Does it make it feel just that much better if he sticks around?
It does, only in part because of what we know about what's available right now. It's not like there's this other alternative that's going to come in and oh yeah, this is a significantly better option than Darcy Kuemper. So Darcy Kuemper staying on for more than just a year after giving up those assets. Like AJ said, it has paid for itself, but it would only make this feel a lot better because at the time it was deemed a pretty risky decision and a lot of people were skeptical of it. So it would just bolster the fact that yes, this definitely paid for itself and then some if Kuemper stayed around.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the only area where I think you start to feel not even bad, because again, you want a cup. Like, and I've been pounding that drum for years with the whole like give away every pick and prospect if it means a cup. So like, I am fully there. But like, it would suck just a little bit if you had to go out and like make another trade for a goalie and give up more assets or something like that. If you didn't want to mess with this free agency market.
The thing that I think would make that be bad is if it was for another 1 year deal. Like if they were to go out and get like I'm just saying, like I don't think this is gonna happen. I'm not actually worried about this. But if they were to go out and give up a ton of assets and get John Gibson, that's a guy that's under contract for several years. The idea would be that John Gibson's the man moving forward, right? If they go out and they get, I don't even know who's on a 1 year deal because I haven't given a shit about goalie contracts. But if they were to trade for a guy on a 1 year deal, and then you're in the same exact position next year, that I would feel bad about because 3 years in a row, you choose not to keep a guy, and then you're sitting here like on free agency day, like, well, Jay, what do I know? Like, in the most important position, and like you're just trying to make it up, right? Like, that's not a template for success. And to be honest with you, the Darcy Kuemper wasn't like the way that they did it with Kuemper wasn't a template for success. Right. Just historically, you go look at big goalie trades, big goalies that get dealt for first round picks have not yielded tons of results in the last several years. But they bucked all that history, right? Like, it's all good. But I do think that I don't worry too much about the deal anymore, but I will say whatever they decide to do, they need to decide on, like, they need some sort of a commitment. This flying by the seat of your pants at the goaltender position every single year,
right?
It's just a dangerous way to live, especially given every year you're dealing with a new goalie coming in and taking 20 to 30 games to figure it out, get comfortable, to readjust and all that. The Avs are not going to be as good next year as they were this year. That's going to be a harder job for that goalie than it was for Darcy Kuemper if they don't retain him. So, you know, I don't worry about the deal, but I don't want to continue. I don't want to stay on this carousel every year.
And that's kind of the point of why I ask, is because it has felt like now for several years in a row, it's like, okay, you're just, like you said, you're kind of going year to year. And again, it paid off. You won a cup. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. Anything that happened in the past doesn't matter. But today when the schedule comes out, you're officially on the hunt for a repeat. You got to figure out what you're doing with your team going forward. And to your point, AJ, it's going to be harder for them to put together a roster as highly talented as this year's was.
Certainly as complete, you know.
Right, top to right.
Bottom. Yeah.
And it wouldn't hurt to have some stability back there. Darcy Kuemper knows UC Parkala, understands the system, mm-hmm. I think fits really well into it. It'd be nice to see him come back. And like you said, get off the carousel. Get off the goalie carousel for a couple of years. Reward your guys. They won a cup.
Yeah,
keep some familiarity back there.
Well, and like you do bring up, you know, you and Megan made a good point earlier that having Frankie around is stability. Like, that's a guy, like, the Avs are paying more for a backup goaltender than most NHL teams will. And the teams that are paying more for a backup than the Avs are teams that are typically involved in platoons. So the Avs are in a good position, but they have, like, they're paying a decent amount of money here for, like, it's obviously $2 million isn't like crazy money, but backup goaltender is one of the most cost-efficient positions on the roster, and the Avs are paying a premium price for Pavel Francouz here. And he's lived up to that to that deal when he's been healthy. Outside of the 1 year that he missed, he really has not had prolonged injury issues. Like, obviously at the start of this last season, that sucked. It sucked so much that, like,
unlucky he got hurt. Great word.
Yeah, well, because you remember, like, his like toe gets caught in like the net or whatever in the preseason game, and like that's what sets him back, because he was fine. And he's good to go. And you have a lot of trust in Pavel Francouz. You know, we get accused, like Rudo and I have to like fend off like the Frankie fans because they think that we don't like him or whatever. And we love Pavel Francouz. It's just, we don't think that he's a high end starter. I don't think he's a starter at all. I think he's a really good backup. And I think that gives you a little bit of room at the starter position. But when you get into the postseason, you don't want to have to rely on that guy. Seeing how Frankie handled it this year was great, but he was still the Frankie that makes you nervous. He was still the Frankie that you don't trust as a longtime starter. I think the playoffs probably for me reinforced Frankie's limitations, but also gave you a comfort of, if we absolutely have to lean on this guy, we can. We might have to score a couple of goals, but we can. And I think that makes it so you have a higher end backup. That makes it so that you can maybe live a little more dangerously at the start.
You can survive
position.
Six games.
Well, and I mean, I mean like planning on the macro level, you can maybe go year to year. If you have the stability at backup that a guy like Frankie gives you, you can maybe ride that carousel for an extra year. If you think, hey, Darcy Kemper's not the solution, we're not going to give Darcy Kemper a 5-year deal and somebody is, and we just won't do it. We will find an answer for a year and we'll try again next year. I'm saying I don't want to live on this carousel forever, but I also don't want them to commit for the sake of committing. Yeah. And then you're in a room, you know, you're in this long-term relationship with the dude that you're in like with.
Well, yes, they just need to kill a couple of years till Vitek Vanacek catches on a little bit more and then, you know, pull from their development system.
Or Samsonov, like, pick one of them.
Yeah. Cool. So last question here, then we're going to move on from the Darcy Kemper. I honestly, guys, I ask a lot of these questions because it's good conversation. I think they'll keep Kemper. I think that's the right move. I think he had a great year and he struggled in the playoffs with a little bit of the injury. Just playing devil's advocate, let's say they don't land Darcy Kemper. Megan, who is your picture perfect fit? They don't necessarily have to be a free agent, but just someone that's realistic. You can't say Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Husso. Okay. Husso.
Yeah, love that. AJ?
Same.
I've always wanted them to make a run at John Gibson. Just to get him out of there.
My biggest thing, and I was a huge John Gibson fan for a long time, but John Gibson 3 years in a row has not been any good. Yeah. And I know that people always go, bah, 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 but the Ducks team in front of them is terrible. And it's like, you know that there are goalies who have good years on bad teams every single season. The fact that John Gibson hasn't done it in 3 straight years makes me really, really iffy. I'm not saying that I'm hard out on it or anything, or that I would be totally opposed. It just makes me uncomfortable, because if you were to go into a trade with John Gibson, with Anaheim for John Gibson, you would have to give up assets like he's John Gibson. And it's been 3 years since you've seen that dude.
Since he's been John Gibson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you taking that chance? Because look, like, Braden Holtby was pretty good for Dallas last year. Braden Holtby hadn't been good since he won a Stanley Cup in Washington, which is a lifetime ago now in NHL cycle terms.
Yeah.
So I think that you just never know, right? Like, you just never, you truly never know, especially at the goaltender position. But Winnipeg is not going to trade Connor Hellebuyck. Otherwise, I would be first in line for that shit.
This was the one thing about Darcy Kemper. I don't know if I've seen that many equipment malfunctions in one season. Like that, he had to lead the league in equipment malfunctions per 60.
It was weird, dude. Like the skates are always with the skates.
Yeah.
Like that one week, he just couldn't finish a game.
Couldn't finish a game, couldn't finish a period. It was wild. The box scores for all those games were hilarious.
Yeah.
I think there was just some weird luck going on. Even with Frankie taking a puck from the bench and then his injury at the start of the season, I think both goaltenders just needed to do something, sage the locker room, but not actually sage it. It's a close practice.
Of course. Well, obviously everyone
knows. Obviously it's a close practice.
Duh. Duh. DNVR Avalanche podcast brought to you by DraftKings, Jesse, Megan, AJ. Also brought to you guys by Breckenridge Brewery. Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR, and once that bar reopens here in August, those beers will be on tap, and you know we'll have the seltzers in the bar as well. Breck Brew has a beer for every occasion, and there is no better way to watch a game than having some Breck Brew. They've been doing it for over 30 years, and it all comes down to their love and passion for making beer. Make sure to try out some of our favorites, which are the Good Company Hard Seltzers and Lemonade Seltzers. I always prefer the lemonade. You know, it's warm out. Perfect lemonade. Time for drinking something a little bit lighter. Sitting out on the patio. Get that little bit extra sweet going in there. They have the Avalanche Amber Ale, which is all Ruto drinks. They got the Juice Drop IPA. Summer Pills.
It is not all he drinks, okay?
Hey.
He slips in a strawberry sky.
I actually heard he had his hot water heater replaced with just a giant keg of Avalanche Amber Ale. So go ahead.
Ms. Rudo was not happy.
That's 100% confirmed fact. So take that to Twitter. Strawberry Sky, one of my favorites, one of Hannah's favorites. They also have the Vanilla Porter Jr. And make sure you guys are using the Breck Beer Locator to find them at your nearest liquor store. And again, once we get that bar, the DNBR bar 2.0 open, come on down and enjoy a Breck Brew. Also brought to you guys by Ivaca TV. Look, it's the off season, but you are going to be gearing up sooner than you realize to watch the Nuggets and the Avs. And if you haven't been able to do it in the past with your current provider, you're going to love Ivaca. Ivaca is a totally new approach to TV programming. It's less expensive, easier to watch, and offers a superior picture to that of cable. The services include local networks like Altitude Sports, AT&T Sportsnet, as well as a bunch of other national channels. Ivaca TV is growing consistently and adding new channels to their lineup, including DNVR. If you have Ivaca TV, you could be watching us right now live on the DNVR channel. I believe it is just one station above Altitude. So we're channel neighbors with Altitude there. We're now live on Ivaca TV with our own channel, so make sure you are checking that out. Look, I could go on and on and on and on, but the most important thing is they've got Altitude Sports. You can watch the Avs, the Nuggets, the Rapids, the Mammoth. Although, if you're following Yah here on Twitter, maybe you don't want to be watching the Rapids right now. You can also access coverage of the CSU Rams and the Denver Pioneers. Baseball season is underway. You can get the Rockies on AT&T Sportsnet Rocky Mountain. Service is now available in Denver and Colorado Springs. All you have to do to sign up is go to ivaca.tv/DNVR. That's EVOCA.tv/DNVR. A lot of letters there. Use the promo code DNVR. You'll get $10 off your first 3 months. So it's only $15 per month for the first 3 months, plus receiver. No contracts, no hidden fees. That's ivaca.tv/DNVR. Jesse, Megan, AJ, DNVR Avalanche podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's touch just kind of briefly on some of those free agents that we weren't able to get to yesterday. I also want to give a huge shout out to Mucinex for allowing me to get through that ad read. without losing my mind.
That's the good stuff, honestly. When you've got chest congestion like that dude does, it is it's seriously.
So I've actually never taken Mucinex. Today's my first Mucinex experience. I've only been like Sudafed and stuff in the past. May have a new I need to get like a NASCAR jacket with just Mucinex across the back. That's the next thing after robes, DNVR racing jackets.
I think we just need a DNVR racing team. Personally, I think the DNVR just needs to be on one of those F1 cars that we watch every week. So it's just me, just saying. Need to replace like some of those uglier cars with some DNVR. Little flag on there.
Get to work, Brandon.
Yeah, seriously. Where's that $100 million deal?
There were a couple comments in the goalie conversation that asked about Eustace. And I feel like the quick note is that Hunter Miska was a UFA. He announced that he's not going to be coming back to Colorado. Kind of thought that could be something that happens. And this also seems to pave the way that Eustace is the go-to starter in Loveland for the foreseeable future, which is what I think they've been setting him up for since last season. But with that said, I don't think that's meant to be a quick fast track to the NHL either. I think he's still expected to play as a starter in the AHL at least for another season, maybe even two. But it puts a little bit of faith behind Anunin and his path to the NHL, solidifying him as a starter.
I also wonder if that opens up the backup job for Trent Miner.
Or Peyton Jones. That's what I'm wondering. Don't say that to me. I'm so sorry.
I love Peyton Jones' like path. Like I love the undrafted college kids that just keep going and keep going. But I remember Jesse and I watching that guy in Arizona last year and just being like, you're supposed to get in front of it, dude. So it was Peyton Jones and I we're a tough go. Anyway, point is, I do wonder what that means if Trent Miner is the guy that they want as backup in Loveland, and they just run prospects, they just run their own homegrown tandem. I do think that just because it's always smart, that would put Trent Miner in line to play in the NHL next year if catastrophe strikes. I do think that there is a decent chance that they next week in free agency that they get a veteran guy of some level to come in and either be an ECHL buffer or a guy to help out in the AHL a little bit. But yeah, Eustace, that should be his job, but that's not an NHL path yet.
And I know they're high on Eustace. You know, I know the organization really likes him and they really do see him as
were a no go at the deadline.
As a potential starter for them one day. And look, like, this is something that we've talked about in the past. The Avs went such a long time where they had to, anytime they had a high-end prospect, they had to fast-track them to the NHL. You're looking at a guy here in Eustace Annan. He's a young guy. Honestly, to me, this is another one of the reasons why giving Darcy Kemper, if you could get Darcy Kemper back here for 3 years, don't know if he'll go for that. You may have to give an extra year to get him to come back. If you could get Darcy back here for 3 years, I think that just sets up so well to eventually turn the keys over to Annan in 2 or 3 years. Once he's had a couple more years to be the guy in Loveland, be the starter, do more, you know, put up more than just 1 year. I mean, he had a great year, but he needs to repeat it. And then he needs to repeat it again, or at least be in that ballpark before you can say, yes, this kid is ready to make that jump. And then you're hoping that everything just kind of times out well. So
yeah,
they think Annan's time is coming. I don't think it is right now. Right.
Ideally, it's Annan is a full-time starter and your spot starter next year is your third guy. And then in the second year, in Frankie's last year, he does the same job and then ascends to the backup job when Franzos's contract expires after 2 years. Annan becomes your backup. And then by the end of, if you're on a four-year deal with Kemper, by the end of that, he's been a backup for 2 years, and you either have an idea of, we want to give him, we want to give him a starting opportunity, or we don't. So they'll have an idea. Like, I think that's the, that's where if you give Kemper a four-year timeline and you're mapping out organizationally, you can see where Annan, okay, 2 years as the starter in Loveland, as a full-time starter in Loveland, spot starter in the NHL. Goalie injuries are always going to happen. He's going to play in the NHL. He's going to get some opportunities. And then and then after Frankie's contract expires, then you make the big decision. Is he our full-time backup now? Is he the guy that we're actually relying on in the NHL? And then, you know, is he the starter? So that's kind of your, that's kind of your Eustace path right now.
And I love how close Loveland and Denver work together, because Eustace has worked with UC Parkala throughout this last season. And so he's benefiting from the goaltending coaching of both Peter Budaj and UC Parkala in being someone that does get to be a black ace in the playoffs and things like that.
UC was a big reason that Annan got drafted in the first place. So,
well, and look, like, obviously he didn't get into any games. He sat on the bench for a couple, and you know, if anybody saw the practices and morning skates, Eustace didn't get a ton of work with the team, but he was in the meetings, he was in the video sessions, he was in the gym, he was at practices. He went through a Stanley Cup run. I don't know if he'll get his name on the cup or anything like that, but just seeing the work that needs to go in, watching what two goaltenders who are going through that have to go through. And look, he prepared in the entire Western Conference final as if he could get into a game. So he got some great experience, got to see a lot of that up close. And that's never bad. That's never bad for a goaltender. That's never bad for a player. You know, a bunch of those black aces who got to be around young players, that's good for them. I'm going to stick on the goalies here just because goalies are fun to talk about. I want to give a couple seconds to Frankie, because I do feel like we gloss over him a bit. Had the Avs not re-signed him, who would have given him starter money?
I think you would have seen a team like a Buffalo.
Yep.
Maybe not Buffalo specifically, but a team like them, a team that has the opening, has cap space. I think that would have been, they would have given him that classic 3 year, right in the neighborhood of $3 million. Hey, prove that you're a backup going into the starter job. That's like one of the easiest contracts in the NHL to sign, is free agent goalie going from backup to starter. You give him a 3 year deal. You give him right around $3 million, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, depending on age. And then go from there.
The Avs do officially open the season on October 12th at home versus the Chicago Blackhawks. Expect that to be a banner raising ceremony. Should be a ton of fun for them. The NHL schedule did just drop. We're not really going to get into it too much on the show. It's not like the NFL where it makes a huge difference. But they do start at home, head out on the road for a couple games, back at home for a couple games. And then they do their classic East Coast road trip that actually starts in Vegas. That's kind of a brutal road trip.
What the fuck is this end of season? They finished with back-to-back games in San Jose in April. Not the end of this, not their actual finish, but in the first week of April. They have two games at San Jose.
Yeah, what the hell?
Not part of a home-and-home, two games in San Jose.
April 4th and April 6th at San Jose, at San Jose, at Los Angeles, at Anaheim. And they finish it up at the finished season at home this year.
Yeah, they finish against the Jets. You're going down, sucker!
That's amazing.
That's so funny. I thought... So I had seen some chatter that they were maybe going to do the... kind of emulate what we saw now two seasons ago, where you played the same team in the same city a couple times. So when I first saw the San Jose thing, I thought maybe that was what it was, but no.
One off.
All right, so there you go.
Yeah.
Schedule's out. Hit Twitter to go find it. Avs open the season on October 12th. I have a wedding in Montrose, Colorado on the 11th. So
very home heavy, very home heavy December schedule.
Used to be January was their home heavy month. Like
very
like,
road heavy start to the season.
Which I actually like.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Well, cool. It's, well,
the strangest road trip might be this: at Winnipeg, at Buffalo, at Boston, at Philadelphia. That's a really odd combination of cities. That's the only time they're in Winnipeg, too. Obviously, I care about that, but that's odd.
What? When are they in Arizona?
March 26th, and then at Christmas, December 27th.
Find me. I think those games are going to be so sick. I think those games in ASU are going to be so awesome. Yeah. So, Glaze, anyway. head over to Twitter, check it out. I'm sure we'll have a graphic up and all kinds of stuff here a little bit later today. But the schedule did officially drop. Going back to Pablo Francouz, it's just funny because that was something that I had heard and then Elliot Friedman reported on, that there were a couple GMs out there that were disappointed when Pablo Francouz signed a multi-year deal with the Avs, because there were some teams out there that were potentially interested in his services. And like you said, Buffalo, Edmonton's another one that comes to mind. I mean, Arizona, he would be a massive upgrade over what they've gotten at right now in Arizona. So glad he's sticking around.
Wow. Let's talk about no love for the veggie man, huh?
Oh, no. I mean, he's whatever. Fine.
He's whatever. Damn. Cold.
You get my Chinese food with no veggies, all right? Get them veggies out of here.
All right.
We're going to skip Abe Kubel and Lehkonen. Those are RFAs. I don't think anybody expects them to get offer sheeted.
I mean, there's always talk about it, right? Like, somebody's always going to talk about the possibility of an offer sheet. And it's like, okay.
There's a reason it was such a big deal last year when it actually happened and went through. You know,
Then ended up, shockingly, not being worth it because Kotkaniemi wasn't nearly good enough to justify all that Carolina gave up for him. It really drove home how expensive that process is and how hard it is to get it right.
So since we're already at about 45 minutes, I'm actually going to pay this last set of bills here and then we can just kind of carry home until we're done. DNVR Avalanche podcast brought to you guys by DraftKings Sportsbook. NHL season is over, but the action never ends at DraftKings, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, 1,000. And if it doesn't win, you will get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action from baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same game parlays, spreads, money lines, over unders, props, all of that good stuff, your betting options feel endless. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. My favorite part, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. There's some apps out there that make you get to a certain dollar amount before they'll let you take that out. DraftKings will let you withdraw whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code DNVR only at DraftKings. minimum age and eligibility requirements. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Also brought to you guys by some of our newest partners over at FOCO. The clock has hit zeros and the Stanley Cup final has come to an end with your Colorado Avalanche defeating the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2. And what has been an incredible season from start to finish. The Avs have brought home the Stanley Cup to Colorado for the first time since 2001. Keep the celebration going with officially licensed 2022 Colorado Avalanche Stanley Cup champion merchandise from FOCO. The collection features everything from apparel like shirts, hats, and accessories to collectibles like player bobbleheads and plush toys. FOCO, that's F-O-C-O, has got you covered with the best Colorado Avalanche merchandise. Head on over to FOCO.com or click the link in the YouTube description. And for all non-presale items, use a promo code DNBR for 10% off your purchase. Just lovely. So yeah, make sure you head on over to FOCO. I already got some of my stuff pre-ordered. They look great. So excited for them to show up. That's FOCO.com. Jesse, Megan, AJ, we're going to wrap all of this up here in the next 15, 20 minutes. Talking some free agency. I don't know if I won't die on you guys. There's no guarantees right now on this show.
You better not die. I'll be so mad at you.
I know. I'll be pissed too. We're going to dip our toe here into the free agency with the few guys that we've got left to talk about. And then maybe if there's time, we'll get into a little bit of what we could see on draft day other than the actual picks themselves. Has Rudo made it to Arizona?
He leaves today or tomorrow. I can't remember. I think he leaves tomorrow. I think he flies down tomorrow and then goes straight to their draft party for the show.
Okay. Because I saw that our PHNX friends had God. Jared Bednar had
hellacious a
hell
time.
Of a time getting to Montreal. I don't even know if they're there yet.
Yeah, for sure. There were a ton of concerns about people being able to get to Montreal over the last week. I know a lot of people rerouted their trips to Toronto, where they just rented a car and drove. So glad you're not going.
That was all I was thinking yesterday when just watching all that unfold, yeah. Knowing that they came out of Denver. I was like, yo, if Jared Bednar is getting kicked off these flights, no shot I would have made it.
You can toss a cup champion off a week
with
after.
With the cup.
Yeah.
Had the cup with him.
He just wanders around with it now.
I would.
I mean, that was like Eric Johnson's whole week last week was it didn't matter who had it or where it was going. Eric Johnson went.
Yeah, he was there. Of the names we didn't talk about yesterday, Andre Burakovsky, Darren Helm, Nico Sturm, Jack Johnson, Josh Manson, Ryan Murray.
We talked about Berkey a little.
We did talk about Berkey. Let's try him. So let me actually read these names. And I'm going to ask both of you a question. Darren Helm, Nico Sturm, Jack Johnson, Josh Manson, Ryan Murray. Do any of those guys come back? All right.
I hope so.
I want Manson to come back, but every indication sounds like that might not be the decision he makes for familial reasons.
Yeah. I think it's well known that Manson's preference is to return to California, which really sucks, dude. I really would love to see that guy stay.
Fit in so well.
Well, and to be that guy next year, and then if EJ retires or leaves or whatever at the end of his current contract, then Manson could just be that guy. Mm-hmm. And it would be just such a good fit. And it's like, look, Colorado weather is pretty good too. I understand this is not Anaheim. but it's nice. It's a good place to raise a family. Colorado kind of low-key rules.
Especially with like, and like, look, let's just be honest. When you have the kind of money they have, you can live in the dopest parts of the city.
I know. I'm a Colorado person sitting out here on a soapbox asking for more Californians to move in, but it's absolutely true. Please. It's
necessary.
Please. Please let Josh stay and play with his friends for four more years.
We'll start the official. Mom. Yeah. Start the official, if you go ask her, she can't say no campaign.
Yes.
Other than that, do we see any of those guys coming back in the bottom half of this lineup?
No. I think when they signed Cogliano, they probably made that choice. Just because, as we talked about yesterday, that bottom six is kind of filling up quickly, as is. Now, if they decide not to give a qualifying offer to Knack, that would open up a spot that they could then give to Helm. His qualifying offer is only $1.2 million, though. And that guy gave you 22 points last year after coming over from Philly. So, no points in the playoffs, but...
I like to be brought, honestly.
I really didn't have a huge problem with him in the postseason. I really didn't. And he stayed out of the penalty trouble that has so plagued him. You know, I think he only had one or two penalties in the postseason. And during the regular season, he really cut down on the silliness. It was as advertised when he got here. And then I think cut it down. I would like to see Sturm stay just because I think he adds an element, but also you're trying to be well-rounded, but that guy, when you watched him, just continually looked out of place in Colorado. Like he can't play at the same kind of pace. The creativity, the offensive ask isn't really there for him as it was even for his line mates. Most of the time he just did not look, he never looked like he really like fit or belonged in the way that Colorado wants to play. But I really like the player, limitations and all. I really like the player, and I would be okay if Sturm wanted to stick. But I think that they don't need the center because Compher and Myers are there. And Newhook, like, you've got center options in your bottom six already. Like, they're already there. So Sturm, I don't think, would necessarily need to be prioritized.
Yeah.
And Helm ended up at center by the end of all that. He was playing center.
You know, it's funny. We heard a lot of talk during the final about how this team, you know, there were so many free agents and it's going to look so different. And while that's true, the core is intact. And to me, that's the part, again, we talked about yesterday, like you look at Tampa, that's all they care about. Is our core intact? We can fill in the rest as we need. Megan, when you look at this list of free agents, potential free agents, Let's assume they get it done with Nichushkin and Lehkonen, right? Because I think those are two that all three of us feel pretty comfortable on. I think they'll probably get those ones done. Mm-hmm. Lehkonen, RFA. If you lost everyone else that's pending, other than those two and Kemper, you don't really feel that bad, Megan? Or do you?
Yeah, I don't really feel that bad, especially of the list we were just talking about with the kind of the outliers, the Nico Sturm, the Abe Kubel types being on the fringe, because with Cogliano rejoining, I kind of thought it would be among that group, a pick and choose, like it's either one of these and then the others I expect to go. And within the bottom six, because it is pretty locked up, that's an area too where I could see the Avs promoting from within. I could see Martin Kaut assuming a role similar to Abe Kubel if that doesn't happen. I could see Maltsev assuming a role similar to Nico Sturm if that doesn't happen. I'd prefer it if Abe Kubel or Nico Sturm stay. I thought Nico Sturm had a much better regular season right after the deadline when he joined the team. And I purely on my own speculation, suspected maybe he was dealing with an injury in the playoffs, because I thought he looked fine and assumed a better fit when he played right after the deadline and then looked out of place in the playoffs. So I liked what I saw of Sturm, like right after the deadline, when he was with the team through the rest of the season. So if that version of Sturm came back, I'd even be happy with that. So that being said, these are some people I could see leaving or not coming back, and there being options and alternatives that could step up in their place.
And yeah, Ben Myers is one that I keep forgetting about that, you know, I think will be a big boost to that bottom six.
I think Ben Myers is going to play a meaningful role on the team next year. I don't think Ben Myers is going to be one of these college guys that were like, remember Ben Myers? Like remember Dom Toninato? You know, like, I don't think it's going to be that. I think he's going to be closer to a, yay, Alex Kerfoot. I don't know if he'll be that good, but like, I think Ben Myers is going to be an important player for next year's team.
Where is Toninato?
Winnipeg, actually.
Winnipeg, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, he's getting decent minutes, right?
He's a regular.
Yeah. So good. So
I always use him as my example. I'm like, this is why the Jets missed the playoffs.
Well, dude, it was like when I saw Brad Malone mixing it up in game three of the Western Conference Final, I was like, it's a sweep.
It wasn't good.
It's a sweep.
Malone doing what he has to do. Congrats to that guy for cashing them checks,
no
man.
No kidding, man. Good for him.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any other final thoughts? Did you guys see Joey Chestnut choke that dude out over the weekend?
I heard he regretted it.
Did he?
Yeah, he came out and released a thing, like a whole apology, being like, my bad.
Bro, when you watch that video at full speed, Hannah literally goes, oh my God, did he just snap his neck? Like, he whips him back.
That's scary. I didn't see it.
You should go look it up. Mid hot dog. And then he goes right back to stuffing hot dogs in his face. It's wild.
Just keeps eating.
Just keeps chugging along.
Joey does what Joey does, you know?
Did you see the gallon of lemonade chugging challenge?
No. I realized that competitive eating was absolutely not for me when Rudo and I were watching and betting on people like high-end competitive eaters eating Halloween candy. Whoa. And I couldn't do it when they were just fistfuls of M&Ms and stuff and like Reese's, like whole like, dude, it was disgusting. And I was just like, yep, this is gross. I've got to be out on this for the rest of my life. And I, outside of hot dog, for whatever reason, watching people eat hot dogs does not have the same effect.
See, I always like getting the video clip on Twitter of the of like the 10 second countdown. I can't bring myself to watch I can't bring myself to watch someone eat 60 hot dogs.
No,
in whatever it is, 10 minutes.
I can't
8 minutes?
Either.
I have a really hard time just watching people do food challenges in general.
Yeah.
Like I follow, for some reason they pop up on my TikTok all the time, where people are like, "Oh, I'm at whatever diner, and I'm doing their breakfast food challenge," and it's like 6 pounds of food, and it's like these huge pancakes, and it's like a pound of potatoes, and I'm just like, can't do this.
So you've been to Swanky's with me, right?
No.
Or just Swanky's downtown. Swanky's? They have the frozen slushies.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you and I had been in there.
Yeah, like, we totally did. Yep.
Do they have Everclear that they put?
Yeah.
In the drinks. Oh my goodness! I know what you're talking about.
The slushies are so good. Again. The slushies are – that's where we're going to do our end-of-year gathering. Well, so – because they have – it's a Wisconsin bar, so they have really good food, and it's all kind of cheese-based, mac and cheese, grilled cheese, all that stuff. They have a food challenge, and one of Hannah's friends was like, oh, I think I could do it. And I was like, that is so – the food challenge, yeah, it's cheese fries, tots, like an 8-layer grilled cheese, cheese curds, all this stuff. And I was like, you won't be able to go to the bathroom for 3 weeks. Like,
oh, and when you do, it's going to be.
Yeah. You'll have to go to the hospital.
Like you need EMTs on standby.
Yeah. Those food challenges are,
We actually have a comment here saying Joey Chestnut is the goat of goats, honestly, from a sports perspective. I am curious. I mean, we're just kind of fucking around at this point in the show, but like, who would you say, Megan, are you on the floor?
Yes.
What is?
I was actually going to do this show from the floor just to spite Dario, because he was saying that Devontae sitting on the floor was hurting his hamstrings. I was like, sitting on the floor?
Will rise. I think Evan said it.
Floor sitters.
Honestly, it's just because I'm at my parents' house, so it's not the standard setup.
It was the zoom out for a second there where I was like, you could see the baseboard, and I'm like, hold up, those are outlets next to your shoulder. Something's going on here.
See, at first I was like, damn, shoulder height outlets, sick.
Dude, I was like, oh, she must be in like a kitchen or something, because that's the only place you see those. Anyway, back to my original, totally non-hockey-related point here. Yeah, like, who do you think is, like, the GOAT of, like, we're talking, like, the greatest ever at what they did?
Serena Williams.
Serena Williams is actually my answer, no joke.
So I'll just say, I think Gretzky's in that conversation. Serena Williams, I think, is high up in that conversation. All jokes aside, I mean, like, I don't necessarily know if you want to call it a sport, but it's competition. Joey Chestnut has to be in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, name one other competitive eater.
Right. Well, the best part is he beats everyone by like 25 every year. It's like, why? If you were training for this and you came up 20 short of what he did last year, what makes you think you're going to even get close?
Yeah. See, I could also, Kobayashi is also the other one that I would know, but that's the guy that Joey Chestnut took the record from.
Yeah.
So I can name two of them across like 20 years. also,
Usain Bolt is another good one.
Yeah, people are talking about Sean White. Sean White, and obviously nasty. Michael Phelps during his like reign of terror. Yeah.
And like, to me, those are all people that like dominated the sport. Like, you can absolutely Michael Jordan, all that stuff. But like, they weren't like Michael Jordan wasn't. He doesn't have records like Wayne Gretzky has, where it's like these absurd, no one will ever come close to touching it type records.
Yeah.
Like obviously Michael Jordan's amazing, you know, greatest, sure. Second greatest basketball player of all time, depending on where you fall and all that.
Who's ahead of him?
I don't know. I said, depending on nobody for me, but what I'm saying is there's people that have it other ways. But yeah, I don't know if he was dominant. Serena Williams.
Yeah. Dude, I'm sorry, but when she has a baby and then she rolls out, what is it, 3 weeks later and wins the Australian Open?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
That's the most impressive thing I've ever seen an athlete do.
Straight up.
And like dominated. Like dominated. It wasn't like struggled her way through, like tore up that tournament.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that like, yeah, it was just like this year after year, season after season.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the men's side of tennis has the trifecta right now with Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. Those guys have separated themselves so far from everyone else in men's tennis. But the fact that you can't separate them from each other tells me that none of them are the answer. Tony Hawk is a skateboarder. Yeah.
Another good one.
That's a good one. An iconic.
What's crazy about swimming is like, I would say like Katie Ledecky or Missy Franklin, but like, I feel like every year or every 4 years, a new like prodigal daughter emerges and just, yeah, smashes all those records. Everyone was like, oh, no way. Like Katie Ledecky right now.
Dude, I can't, honestly, I can't keep them straight. I can't remember which one is which. I'm like, I'm sure. Like, what event does that one do?
Yeah.
What country is that one from? I'm just like, there are so many like special athletes doing special things. I don't watch swimming. Like I'm like you're like extreme Olympics only casual.
Yeah,
where
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Like Simone Biles. Simone Biles is a great
I
one.
Like Simone Biles.
Yeah. Yep. Simone Biles. Yep. Simone Biles. Is, see, I mean, I Simone Biles, like,
that we were missing.
She like reinvented aspects of gymnastics.
Well, and see
like,
that
like right in front of us. And she's part of her legacy is going to end up being mental health nonsense.
Right.
And not what a special athlete she was.
Well, and those are the players that I really do, or athletes that I really do look at when you're talking about this, like who changed their sport?
Yeah.
Who changed the way the position is played, changed the way that it's trained for, whatever, whatever. And here's how I'm going to tie this all together. Cale Makar is someone that I look at and I say he's changing the way the position is played.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny because we'll say that, but I don't think it'll end up being true. I don't think he'll change the way the position gets played because I just don't think you're going to find another Cale Makar. The same way Bobby Orr didn't change the way defense got played. It just took 40 years to find another Bobby Orr.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting because there are people watching Cale Makar right now, and you make a great point. It'll be 10, 15 years until we really start to see that, but it's going to be really interesting because that is someone who I could see saying, you know, change the way that he did it. Yahir makes a great point. Tony Hawk invented all kinds of moves. Those are the people that I look at that, like, they changed the way the game is played. Let's get out of here.
Probably a summer pod. Sorry.
Probably a summer pod. Yeah, I was going to say, now that we just went 15 minutes into a show that we'll do later on, we got a good jumping off point now. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening along. AJ, Megan, Yahir, thank you guys for giving me a few extra minutes for my Advil to kick in.
The website works again, so expect a handful of posts in the next few days.
Website works again? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, thank you guys all so much for listening. For Megan Angley, AJ Hafley, and as always, producer Yahir behind the glass. Make sure you guys can see and hear us. I'm Jesse Montagna. Thank you guys all so much for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.